Hello and welcome to News 24 on air, our live audio service. I'm Ihlali Ntsabo. A 32-year-old suspect briefly appeared in the Frederiksberg Magistrates Court on Monday on charges of kidnapping and human trafficking in connection with the disappearance of 6-year-old Jocelyn Smith. Laurentia Lombard seemed overwhelmed when she stood in the dock and went through motions of stating a preferred language for proceedings, which was Afrikaans. Smith went missing almost a month ago while playing outside with her friends near a house in Saldanha Bay. Lombard is now the fifth suspect arrested in connection with the disappearance of Smith. And to tell us more on the case, we are now joined on the line by our reporters, Jenny Evans, who attended today's court proceedings, and also Lisa Lee Solomons, who's one of the journalists that first covered the story of the missing 6-year-old. Thank you both for joining us. Jenny, let's start off with you. During today's proceedings, the prosecutor in the Jocelyn Smith case says that the fifth person, who is Lombard, made a confession. Do we know what that confession is?
Hello, Mihlali. No, we have no idea. And we tried to get some information as well. And the police are keeping it very close to their chest at the moment. And outside the court, people were quite upset with this sort of cliffhanger. They were saying, you know, what did she say? What did she say? You know, people were speculating again, all these things is heard on TikTok and everything. What did she say? So we really did try. But the Community Safety MEC, Regan Allen, issued a statement that says police are at the investigations at a critical stage at the moment, and they're trying not to let anything out, you know, to avoid speculation or possibly hampering the investigation.
Right.
I suspect they are really pretty close to giving us closure one way or the other.
Okay. And do we perhaps know if the suspect is known to the family?
They seem to be part of a friend group and friend of friends, and they definitely lived close to each other. We sort of walked from one shack to the other. They live really close. They're within the same block of each other. And the car wash over the road, so they kind of all would have moved in the same sort of very small area and definitely would have known each other.
Right. And before I let you go, Jenny, do we know when the next court date is?
Okay, so Laurentia will be back on the 25th, probably for a bail application.
Right.
And then on the 13th of May, the other three come back, and hopefully we get some feedback on the cell phone analysis, because there might be clues in the cell phones.
Right. And before I let you go, Jenny, there was also a small group of protesters outside court today, and you spoke to some of them. How exactly are they feeling regarding the progress of the case?
They're frustrated. Well, they feel as though the person who was arrested has been with the police the whole weekend, and so they feel like they should have some information by now. So they're kind of frustrated by the void, this sort of information vacuum at the moment. And a lot of them have said that they told the police right in the beginning to go and speak to all of these people, and they feel that maybe the police could have said something sooner about what she confessed to.
Right. Lisa Lee, let me bring you into this conversation. You've been following the case since the news of Jocelyn's disappearance first broke out in February, almost a month ago. And how exactly is the community of Saldanha Bay feeling about the progress of the case so far? Because I know the last time you and I had spoke initially, they were somewhat pleased with the progress. And then obviously as the story was developing, they were not necessarily too happy about the progress that the police were making in trying to locate and find Jocelyn.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for that. So you are 100% correct. The residents are they are not happy at all. They feel that police have not been forthcoming with information. And as Jenny has also rightfully said, we've had police followed up on the information that residents had given them at the time of the disappearance. They saw that more could have been done already. It must also be noted that this accused that appeared today, residents have allegedly told the police this from the start, that, you know, they need to go to her house and speak to her. There were also a lot of allegations pointing on social media at the time that this accused, you know, knows quite a lot more than what she has been let known in the community.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can understand the frustration that many of them have, because, I mean, they live in the community. These residents I'm talking about, they live in the community. They have, you know, been on the ground and on searches for Jocelyn since it disappeared. And when all of these allegations were coming out about these people, these accused that were arrested, it was known from the beginning, residents are saying, that police should have followed up and questioned those at the time, because it would have obviously brought this whole investigation to a different point than where we are right now.
Right.
That's how they are feeling.
100%. And of course, as you know, Jenny mentioned earlier, four other suspects have been linked to Jocelyn's disappearance, the mom and the mom's boyfriend being two of them. And one would imagine that the community was quite shocked when this revelation came about. Do we know who the other two suspects are?
So residents have been pointing right from the start that Kelly, who is Jocelyn's mother, and her boyfriend, Jacqueline, who residents referred to as Buddha, Apollos, the two of them had quite a lot of knowledge as to what happened to Jocelyn. So when they were arrested, residents weren't that surprised about it, but they were angry about it. The other two that were arrested were also their close friend, Kelly and Buta's close friends, Tavino. So from what we understand is that when I was in the area for the past, you know, few days when she disappeared, residents were saying that Buta and Stevino were constantly, you know, together. They were always together. And apparently they would then, you know, discuss and walk around the areas and do what they do on a daily basis. The other woman that was arrested at the time, who we now know charges have been cleared against her, is Pumza. Also in the middle post informal settlement, that's where the allegations came about that she was an alleged sangoma. We now know that she was released on Wednesday because there was no evidence against her. So that makes up the four people at the time, and then obviously with police arresting this other suspect or this woman accused on Friday, that makes up five people in total that have now been apprehended for the disappearance of Jocelyn. I must also just point out on that, Michali, when I spoke to the Western Cape Police spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Malcolm Puyer, he did advise also that, you know, it doesn't mean that because another person has been arrested last week on Friday that the police are ruling out that any more suspects can be arrested. The investigation is continuing. The main priority is finding Jocelyn. And at this point in time, police cannot say and will not say that the investigation is now stopping as of yet because they've now got another suspect. It's still ongoing. And like they are saying, they are keeping all avenues opening to find or to question more people on the disappearance.
Right. Lisa Lee, let's just revisit a comment that you made earlier of residents who's from Saldanha Bay saying that they always had their suspicions that it was probably the mom and the boyfriend, or as they call him, Buta. What were the reasons? On what grounds did they make those suspicions on?
Well, the fact that Kelly, you know, knew exactly where he was at the time that she left Jocelyn alone in the home with her. Remember, when, as we now know, on that day, the 19th, when Jocelyn mysteriously disappeared, Kelly had asked Buta to look after her at the time because she had gone to work and Jocelyn wasn't feeling well at that time. So in the space of when Kelly left for work, that was Monday, 7 o'clock, and returned around about 4 o'clock, Buta wasn't at home and Jocelyn was at home. Kelly then went to go and see where she could find Buta if she found him. And during that process, he then said that the last time he saw Jocelyn was when she was outside playing with her neighbors. So between Kelly and Buta, it's not really 100%, you know, set in stone if they do know where Jocelyn is right now. It's, you know, it's all before the court at the moment. But these allegations were all arising from residents and social media, which is, you know, playing detective and saying, you know, the two people that last saw Jocelyn, they have more information.
Right. And finally, Lisa Lee, before I let you go, it seems like also the cops, as you mentioned briefly, are quite tight-lipped about the progress that they're making in terms of, you know, trying to find Jocelyn. Have they given us anything in terms of, like, just to give us an indication or an update as to how far or close they are in finding the six-year-old?
So as we know that this story has obviously gained quite a lot of traction, not just nationally, internationally as well. And police are not, unfortunately, giving us much information of the case, which is obviously frustrating to quite a lot of residents. Because as we speak now, it's like there's still an ongoing search happening in that Middle Coast area because the residents are determined to find her. I spoke to the police commissioner, Western Cape Police Commissioner Thembisile Patakile last week. And, you know, I asked him this questions about, you know, there's all these allegations coming up on social media pertaining to where police must go and look for You know, there are some political parties that have now got involved as well. They're also alleging, you know, what they think could have happened. And I posed the question to the commissioner, you know, are they looking into this, these allegations? What are they making about these, you know, so-called interests in the case? And you know, is police concerned about what is being said on social media? And I remember him saying to me that anyone who, you know, interferes with the investigation will face the full might of the law, because at the moment they are tampering with the investigation. And he was saying that there is a legislation in terms of the Cyber Crimes Act that a person can be charged for distributing false information. Now, I'm sure we all know that, you know, social media is the hype of accusations, false information, etc. And police are also saying that they're not going to be following up on, you know, what everybody's just alleging on social media. They work with facts, they dig for facts, and they work based on those facts. So he was saying that, you know, it's all well and everything that people are putting all this information out there, but police know where they stand with the investigation. They know what they need to do, and he is trusting that the law will take its course and that Jocelyn will be found.
Jenny Evans and Lisely Solomons, our Cape Town Metro reporters, giving us the latest on the Jocelyn Smith case. And to find our full coverage, do visit news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Ihlalin Tsabo.